Well, turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of what we're calling the Hall of Fame of Faith. We've come to one of the most famous passages in the Bible. That's Hebrews 11. And this is a section in which you see a bunch of basically men and women who trusted God, who took not only God at His word, but then acted on that. This chapter is really a great encouragement for every one of us because we have the same plan, and that is to live by faith. We're to live out our lives based on the truths and the promises found in the Word of God. Our ultimate application is that we'd walk by faith, trusting God. Realize faith's an important subject because the issue of faith deals with our relationship with God because we're saved by faith. We have an eternal relationship, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you're saved through faith. But then we also realize that our fellowship, our ongoing day by day, is maintained by faith. Colossians 2:6, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, we received Him by faith, so walk in Him. So faith is the key thing. Well, this morning, we're going to see faith in action again as we go through Hebrews chapter 11. And if you hadn't had the opportunity, what I do, and I read, of course, I study it all the time, but what I do is I read it. In fact, I read chapter 11 every day, over and over again. I want to see the flow of all these different people. And if you've been reading it, you see the by faith Abel, and by faith Enoch, and by faith Noah, and by faith Abraham, and by faith Sarah, and by faith Moses, and by faith, you know, others, and you see it all the way through. In fact, he even gets to the end and says, and you know, what more shall I say? I mean, time will wear out if I talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. And he just says, there's so many people who, as we look in the scripture, that believed God, that trusted Him, and did what God said. And not only do we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, but we also want to live out what He says. So this morning we'll continue. And then this morning we're seeing what we call the sacrifice of faith. It's Abel. He offers a sacrifice of faith. Well, let me raise this question as we begin. How in the world can we approach God? I mean, He's the perfect righteous God, and we're fallen sinful people. We sin and come short of the glory of God. In fact, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. What do we have to offer Him? We actually have nothing to offer Him. But God has a plan. God so loved the world that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. And, sometimes we've heard that, many of you have heard that all of your life, but it should never get old. It should be so exciting when I say, God loved us and sent Jesus to die for us. He came and died on the cross to pay for sin and rise again. He is the final sacrifice for sin forever. He became our substitute. He died in our place. His blood was shed. And God tells us that we can come to Him through Jesus. In fact, the story of the Bible is the perfect God brings sinful man back to Himself using His Son, Jesus Christ, as that sacrifice. How do we come? We come by faith. John 14:6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him, through Jesus Christ. So we realize that the only way that any of us in this room could ever approach the perfect living God is to come through Jesus Christ, the final sacrifice for sin forever. We come by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as we study this morning and we see this sacrifice in chapter 11, verse 4, where Abel offered a sacrifice. And we're gonna go back to Genesis. We're going to go back to see what happened and how it all fits together. And we'll see that. And we're going to see that when Abel offered a sacrifice, it was really a foreshadow of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we'll see it. Well, let's be reminded of our study. We've been talking about faith, because Hebrews chapter 11 about faith. And faith is taking God at His word. And living by faith is taking the truths and principles from the Word of God and applying them in our lives. When we started the very first week, which has been 2 or 3 weeks ago, and of course we missed last week because of the bad weather, but we said that there are 4 key things about faith, okay? Faith always has an object. There's no such thing as just say believe. There's something that we believe. There's objective truth. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's, we're trusting in Christ. So faith always has an object. The object of our faith is believing the Word of God. I'm not sure. It's really the object of our faith is the Word of God. The truths and the principles there, we believe what the Word of God says. That's the object of our faith. Then it's not, now here's the key, it's not the quality or quantity of faith. Some people say, did you really believe, or were you sincere when you believed? That's not the issue. The issue is the object. I can really believe in Buddha, but I'm not saved. And I can put my faith as small as a grain of mustard seed in Jesus Christ, and I'm saved forever. So it's not quality or quantity, it's the object of our faith that saves us. And the object of our faith is Jesus who died and rose again. And then, as this passage in Hebrews says, by faith we please God. If we want to please God, we live by faith. faith. Last time we actually looked at verses 1, 2, and 3, and it was a description of faith. Basically, it talked about faith was the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. It's where we take God at His word and we say the things in the Old Testament, they happened, and the things that He promised in the future, they're going to happen. And then we saw verse 3, and it dealt with creation. And it says, by faith, God created the worlds. And He created it out of that which was unseen. Basically, it says that God created the world out of nothing. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. That word is the word rhema, which means an individual word. God spoke the creation into being. God spoke it into being. We spent some time several weeks ago. We went back to Genesis 6, or we talked about Genesis 6, where He created the heavens and the earth, and it was basically 6 days and all of that. And we talked about the contrast and the difference that some people talk about evolution, and we talk about creation. And evolution says that matter has somehow always existed, and it went from a lower form to a higher form, where creation is that things didn't always exist. In fact, out of nothing, God spoke, and all things came into being. If you go by the word of God, if you go by the scripture, you believe that God spoke all creation into being, and that's how it happened. And we saw that. Now, from there, we move to another by faith, and it's verse 4, and it's going to be by faith Abel. And we call this the sacrifice of faith. We see this man, and all of us, if everybody said, who were the first two people, everybody go, Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve. Well, who were Adam and Eve's sons? Well, most people say, well, Cain and Abel, and was there another one? Seth. But you realize they had bunches of sons and daughters. I mean, they lived 900 years, right? You don't think that they just had 3 kids, right? Because all of those boys got married to somebody. Where did those people come from? They came from Adam and Eve. They had kids everywhere, okay? We call this the sacrifice of faith. I want to break down the verse for you because it's just one verse, but look how it is. We're going to see that Abel had a better sacrifice. We're going to see that the sacrifice showed that he was righteous. And we're going to see that the message still speaks, even today. What was his message? We'll see it. Let me read the verse for you very quickly just so you can see it. Look what it says. By faith, Abel, there he is, offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Now, Cain was his brother. So brother Abel offered a better sacrifice to God than Cain. And then it goes on to say, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. It shows he was a righteous person. And we'll talk about what that means. And then it says, God testified about his gifts, and through faith, though he's dead, he still speaks. He still has a message for us. And so as we look at this, we're going to see a better sacrifice, showed that he was righteous, and he still speaks. Now, I want you to see something before we actually get into the verse, until we go back to Genesis and see something. But I want you to notice it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. See, Abel's sacrifice was to God. It wasn't to his parents. It wasn't like he went to daddy and mom and said, listen, I see all this sacrificial stuff and all the things y'all been talking about, what God told us to do. Well, I'd like to bring this to you, mom and daddy. He didn't say that. He took this to God. And so this is the key. Let's start with Abel's better sacrifice. And notice what it says. Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. Notice verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. Now, when you think about a sacrifice, what do you think of? Sometimes we think about like baseball, and you know, the guy's on first base, and you get up to bat. Instead of trying to get a hit, you're going to sacrifice. You bunt the ball. You automatically get out. You give up your bat so the guy can move to second. That's what a sacrifice is. A sacrifice is you give up something. And a sacrifice, scripture-wise, is an act of worship. Is you take something and you give it up. And if you look throughout the whole scripture, beginning from Adam and Eve on, all the way through the whole Mosaic law, nobody offered anything that was bad. You didn't say, boy, I got 3 animals over here. This one can barely walk and he can't even do anything. I'll just use that. I'll just give that one to God. Under everything that you saw, you brought the best to God, not the worst. And a sacrifice for us is our lives. We say to God, I give you my life for your honor and your glory. So we're going to talk about a sacrifice, and that's what it is. A sacrifice is giving up something. Notice it says, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. And if you think about the sons, there were two boys. When we start this thing out, there was Cain and Abel. Cain was the oldest, and then Abel came after him. So the firstborn son of Adam and Eve, and then the second son of Adam and Eve. And notice it says, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. Let me ask you this question. Why was it better? What made it better? Let's turn back. Hold your place in Hebrews 11 and turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. That's one good thing about the book of Hebrews. When we do Hebrews chapter 11, we have to go back to the Old Testament to see these stories, which makes it a lot of fun. Now, let's think back. As you're turning there, you have a man. His name originally was Adamah. That's what God called him, Adamah, which means dirt. Isn't it? We say Adam, Adamah. And he had a wife. Her name was Isha, which means woman. And then after they sinned and fell, and God gave a sacrifice for them and talked about the seed of woman's going to come and crush the head of the serpent, and that he killed an animal and covered them and gave them the skins, they then named her Eve, which means mother of living. And so God showed them this plan. He said, here's what you do. In order to have a relationship with me, in order to approach me, you must come by the blood sacrifice, because it's a foreshadow of the seed of woman who's going to come and deal with sin of mankind. As we start chapter 4, we're going to see Adam and Eve start to have children. Now, there's no telling how many children they have. We know that at this stage, he mentions two. He doesn't tell us about the other ones yet. There may be others. We don't know. But these two are picked out for a reason. Watch. Now, the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have begotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Now, she had a son, and they named him Cain. And Cain means the helper of the Lord. And you know what they thought? See, God had just promised them that through the seed of woman, coming from the woman would be the Savior of the world, and now they have a boy, and what do they say? Here he is. This must be the one. They didn't know it would be thousands of years on up. And so they said, we got us the man-child with the help of the Lord. We got him. But then there's another son. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, we see a second son, but we see what they do, okay? Abel kept flocks. He was a shepherd. Cain was a tiller of the ground. He's a farmer. Nothing wrong with either one of those. They're fine. They're doing great, okay? But look at verse 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Now, let's stop and think. It says, and it came about in the course of time. In Hebrew, it literally means at the end of the days. You know what it's talking about? It's really saying at the end of the week. And even then, they had already seen the pattern that God created the heavens and earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And what man was doing was he would work and rest. And at the end of the days, when it says it came about in the course of time, it literally says at the end of the days. We would say it this way. At the end of the week, Cain brings an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. So here, and by the way, this is not the first time. These are not little boys. Cain and Abel are not little boys. They're men. They've been bringing sacrifices to God. And this says, at the end of the day, at the course of the time, at the end of the days, Cain brings an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. So he comes and he brings this offering. Cain brings this offering. And let me just raise a question. It doesn't say anything right here whether this is okay to bring this or not, right? It just says he brought fruit of the ground, okay? Now, what is an offering? It's an act of worship. I want you to see something. That's what I think. It's an act of worship. An offering. Listen, we just got through taking up the morning what? Offering. When you gave, that's an act of worship. Offering, by the way, people have always talked about tithes and offering. Tithes are not worship. Tithes are required giving. We're not under a tithe system. We never have been. Tithe system was Mosaic law. When people talk about you need to tithe, tithing is not an act of worship. Tithe is required. If you put yourself under a tithe system, you're not giving as an act of worship. You're giving required. You've never been under that system, by the way. We're under the grace system. 2 Corinthians 9:7, let a man give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. We give as acts of worship. And so when the plate is going around, you are saying to God, I'm taking a portion of what you've given to me, and as an act of worship, I am offering this to you. As an act of worship, Cain brought fruit of the ground. Let's pretend it's turnips, okay? All right. So he brings some turnips. His plan, he approaches God on the basis of his offering. Remember what God did when man sinned? When Adam and Eve sinned and they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they weren't supposed to eat from, God came in and they knew they'd sinned. They went and hid. He came out and they said, we're naked. And he said, who told you you were naked? I mean, and so what did he do? He killed an animal. Blood was shed and he covered them up. And that animal was a foreshadow of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so God said, when you approach me with an offering, you bring a sacrifice with blood. That's what we're going to see this. But what does Cain bring? You can't get blood out of a what? Turnip. You can't. That's why I said it was a turnip, right? Okay? So the way to approach God is the basis of a sacrifice. So Cain brings it. Nothing is said at this point whether it's okay or not. Nothing. But let's go on. Look at verse 4. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstling of his what? Flock and their fat portions. And so here comes Abel, and Abel's got this little what? Probably a lamb or something. He's bringing it up, and he says, I'm offering this to God, because what's going to happen is, as an act of worship, we're going to kill this little animal, and the blood is going to be shed, because it's a foreshadow of the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sin of the world. So Abel, on his part, also brought the firstling of the flock and their fat portions. And notice what it says. Here, Abel brought the animal. It says, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. Now notice, it didn't say that while ago about Cain. It just said he brought it. This one says that Abel brought it and the Lord had regard for it. The word regard really means to look on with favor. God went, good job. Thank you for bringing that. Thank you for bringing that. Do you realize that when you took a portion of what God has given to you, and you said, God, I will give this away, he said, good job. Thank you for trusting me as an act of worship, love, and trust. Thank you as an offering you've given. So Abel, on his part, also brought the firstling of the flock and the fat portion, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. Why? It's a blood sacrifice. Notice verse 5. But, when you see a but, it's always a contrast. The contrast, Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. It was not favorable. Why is it not favorable? Because, go to the next slide. One is a blood sacrifice. Abel brought the animal. The other is a fruit. And you can't get what? Blood out of the turnip. You can't, it's not there. That sacrifice is not the picture of the coming Messiah. It's not. This is what this is, right? Later on, when you get the Mosaic Law and they have all the different kind of offerings, you could bring all kind of different things. But anytime you brought a sin offering to deal with sin, had to be an animal, had to be spotless and blemish, without a blemish, and had to be the blood shed. Always dealing with sin. Because Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, came and offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever, and his blood was shed. So here we see that God said, Abel comes, he brings his animal, and God says, great job. And for Cain and for his offering, God had no regard. God didn't say, great job. What God really said is, now you know what you're supposed to be doing. Why are you bringing this? You know what's right. Watch. For Cain and for his offering, he had no regard, so Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. See, Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness. It has to be blood shed for the forgiveness dealing with sin. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ was shed as the payment for our sin. See, Abel came by faith and brought the blood sacrifice. We come to God by faith in the blood sacrifice, Jesus Christ. We come and believe in Jesus Christ as our sacrifice, who died for us and gives us life. See, the purpose of the blood sacrifice is to point to the coming sacrifice, the Messiah and the Savior who would deal with sin. Cain doesn't come by faith. Abel comes by faith. See, God said, "You trust me? Bring an animal sacrifice." Abel says, "I will. I'm coming by faith." Cain says, "I'll bring what I want to bring." That's not by faith. See, one day, the Lamb of God comes, John 1:29. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hebrews 10, verse 12 says, by one sacrifice he has dealt with sin forever. 1 Peter 1:18 says, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious what? Blood of Jesus Christ. How can anyone approach God? How can you approach God? How can you worship God? You come to Him only through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus Christ died, paid for sin, rose again, blood was shed. We come to God through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Well, look at Cain's response. Verse 6. Let me get to the end of verse 5 again. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. By the way, countenance fell means that he made a bad face. This actually in Hebrew means you make a bad face, like, I'm mad. I mean, that's what he did. He made a bad face. When it says countenance fell, he's upset. And the Lord said to Cain in verse 6, why are you upset? Why are you angry? Why is your face messed up? Why is your countenance fallen? That's what he's really saying. Why is he so mad? Tell me why. He said, I'll come to God on what terms? My terms. There are people out there who say, look, I'll come to God any way I want to. I'm trying to live the best life I can live. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to believe about you. I can do what I want to do. I'm going to come to God. And see, that was me. I believed that you just did more good than bad and you could get to God. That's how I was coming to God until I heard the truth about Jesus Christ. And Cain is saying, I'll come to you however I want to. And God says, why are you so upset? Why are you upset? Look what he says in verse 7. If you do well, basically, if you do what you're supposed to do, will not your countenance be lifted up? You'll be happy. And if you do not do well, guess what? Sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. You have to master it. He says, why are you so angry? Look, there's sin is pulling on you. He's saying your desire to do your own thing is pulling on you. You've got to control this. You've got to have victory. He's saying you can't listen to your flesh. You can't listen to yourself. You've got to do what's right. And to come to God was the blood sacrifice. Cain, you can do right. Come by faith. Bring the blood sacrifice. He says, if you do well, everything will be okay. But if you don't, this pull is there, and it's going to destroy you. What did God tell Cain? You need to bring a what? A blood sacrifice. Watch. Cain told Abel, his brother. Cain said, you know what God said? What? He said, I was supposed to bring a blood sacrifice. He said, well, you knew that. You knew that. I mean, that's why I brought one. Why didn't you bring one? You were supposed to come by faith. We're looking forward to the coming Messiah. Cain said, nobody going to tell me what to do. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what? Killed him. He said, you want a blood sacrifice? I give you a blood sacrifice. He killed his brother. Next slide, I think, says it. You want blood? I give you blood. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it talks about Cain killing his brother, and it talks about a knife. And the knife that is explained in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, is a sacrificial knife. It was a knife used to kill the animals. I think Cain, it doesn't say it exactly, I think Cain killed his brother and says, "You want blood? I'll give you blood." By faith, Abel did what? He brought a better sacrifice, because Abel brought one by blood. He brought the blood sacrifice, which was the picture of the Messiah. Okay, go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. But there's a second part. And this shows that this sacrifice shows that he was a righteous person. Look, notice what it says. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? Righteousness comes by faith. The only way that you can be righteous, all of us come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when you believe in the Messiah, when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says God gives to you his righteousness. And we're going to see this says that by offering this sacrifice, it showed that Abel was righteous. See, righteousness comes by faith. I think go to the next slide. That in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Romans 4:5, but to him who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. Do you understand that every one of us in this room, when you believed in Jesus Christ, when you put your faith in the blood sacrifice, Jesus Christ, who is the way to God, when you trusted in him, he gave you his righteousness. And that's why you can say you're a righteous person. The Bible calls us righteous people, because our standing before God, our position before God is perfectly righteous. There's a doctrine called imputation, which is where God gives his righteousness to us simply by faith. Philippians 3:9, being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of God, which is on the basis of faith. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God gave you his righteousness. He says that Abel was declared, gave a testimony that he was a righteous person. He was. There's one final part. The message still speaks. Even though he's dead, he lived a long, long time ago. Because see, then there became Seth, and after that came Noah, and after Noah came Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Judah, and then on down to David, and then on down to Daniel, and then on down to John the Baptist, and then Jesus, and then all the guys, and then all, and then 2,000 years from that. So it's a long time ago that Abel lived, but he still speaks. And what does he say? To approach God, we must come by the blood of the Lamb. To approach God, we have to come by the blood of the Lamb. Abel was looking for the one who would come and shed his blood and pay for sins. And when he brought that sacrifice, that offering to God, he was saying, "The blood is shed. I'm looking forward to the seed of woman who one day will save us." How do we approach God? How can you come to God? I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, you would say, I've already come to God. I've come to God through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to come to God through him. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved except the name Jesus Christ. He died for me. He paid for sin. His blood was shed. I have trusted in him as my Savior. I'm coming to God through Jesus Christ. That's why he's called our Savior. We come by the blood of the Lamb. He is the sacrifice and the substitute. Hebrews 13:20 says this. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, that's Jesus. How? Through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. Abel still speaks. Here's what he says. You want to come to God? You have to come through the blood sacrifice of the Messiah, the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, the son of David, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ. The only way we'll ever be with God is through Jesus. He is the way and the truth and the life. So what do we see? Abel brought a blood sacrifice. It showed he was a righteous man, because righteousness comes by faith, and the message still speaks today. We come by the blood of the Lamb. Let me give you some applications. And that's first of all, we must come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. He's the provision for mankind. He is the Lamb of God. I think we have John 1:29. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We come through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not our works. It's not our goodness. It's by grace. We've been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we come to God by faith. A, we come to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He died for us. He paid for sin. He rose again. That's the only way we can come. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Abel, his sacrifice, his offering was accepted. God had regard for it, but not for Cain. And let me just say something. It doesn't mean that Cain wasn't a believer. We don't know how many other times they had offered sacrifices, and Cain maybe had done the right one. We're just saying at that particular end of days, when they came that day, God accepted Abel's, and he did not accept Cain's, and because Abel's was a blood sacrifice pointing to the Messiah, and Cain's was not. We can only come to God through Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice of our Savior. B, by faith we receive God's righteousness. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you're righteous just like Abel was righteous. Just like Abraham was righteous, just like David was righteous, just like Paul is righteous, just like Peter is righteous, just like anyone who's ever trusted in Jesus is righteous. The third thing, let's proclaim the message of the Savior to our community. He's the only way to be saved. It's not people's works. It's not people's goodness. It's not people's idea of what they think a person might have to do to get to God. It is that God so loved us that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, as the final sacrifice for sin forever. And his blood was shed, the payment was made, and he is the Savior of the world, and all who believe in him will have eternal life. We must proclaim that message in this community.